are you?
Bridget Spider, now with Flan.
So here we go.
Oh yeah, podcast then. We got a clue in a moment for a business that rocks that could be winning $1,000 Friday, 8:30. Yep. You got to make sure you're listening.
And it is a big podcast. We got Rudy Vanderstone, TV's meanest critic, and he's having a crack at the 2000 Olympics, I think.
Ooh.
Being replayed everywhere on Channel 7
this
at the moment.
This is the uncut version of Rudy that didn't make the radio.
Strap yourself in for that. Also, a sticky, icky situation. A lot of people can relate to this. I'm going to say it because it's a podcast. He's a grown-ass man. Kick him out. He's 24 years of age. A husband and wife are fighting because wife is enabling his behaviour, washing, cooking, giving him money for rego. Yes, he's saving for his first house.
Good on him.
The father's like, it's not the real world. Go out and live it. Mm. Get back to me later. Love to know your opinions. I think it'll be a bit polarised.
Tell you what I loved about it. The Triple M family couldn't line up quick enough to kick him. It was great. And in the world of Rabs' rugby league, I can tell you that the Brisbane Broncos are staring down the barrel of 10 losses in a row.
Oh.
You'll find out what Wayne Bennett thinks about that, and he may be mildly amused.
He is amused by a lot of things, old Wayne Bennett. Isn't
What's the clue, Benny?
The clue for our business that rocks, 8:30 Friday morning.
I
was trying to think what a good clue might be.
Well, tell me the business and I'll tell you the clue.
Yeah.
Okay, you do it then.
Aha! Everyone needs one of these. You'd normally use it down south, but I'll tell you, during certain months here on the Gold Coast, you absolutely need one of these. Gordon Brin. Is that a good clue?
I don't know. We'll find out tomorrow if they call up.
A fireplace.
Wow.
Well, no, because you'd use it in the 36 kilometres of what we've got here on the Gold Coast.
Motorway.
An umbrella.
All right, well, that's the clue.
Beach umbrella. Talk.
Make sure you're listening if you've registered and you could be winning $1,000 thanks to Mercedes-Benz Gold Coast. Here's the podcast.
I miss him a week's too long between chats. Rudy Vanderstone, the meanest TV critic. Good morning.
Good morning to you, Bridget, you beautiful woman. Hello to you, Spider.
Yes.
And hello to the new boy.
Hey,
how
Rudy.
Are you going?
Good, mate. How are you?
Yeah, top of the world to you. And to you too, Ben, the button monkey up there.
Thank you.
Hey, Rudy, can we quickly ask before you get into your review, have you got the hot water system on the roof of the plumber's ute? Because Bridge needs one.
Absolutely. I've got a ream down strapped to the roof. And remember, they come in gas, electric and solar. So you can take your pick. They've been manufacturing in this country for over 80 years, built for Australian conditions.
Fantastic.
And I'm not as if I'm getting a kickback from them at all.
No, not at all. I'd love to see your ream out Ridge, mate.
Absolutely. Well, I'll stick a ream out the back there. Have you got a back passage?
I don't know, but I've heard you've got a large unit. So
yes. I'll stick a ream in your back passage anytime you like.
We need some sound effects.
Or on the pergola.
Yeah. In the sense that we're the ones in the hot water now.
Goodbye to your broadcasting licence and good morning to Rudy Vanderstone and his TV review.
Rudy.
Currently, the Seven Network is running a series of Olympic specials called Towards Tokyo 2021.
Ooh.
Yeah, good luck, like the virus is going to be over by then. Anyway, it's really a celebration and a rerun of the 2000 Olympics, and the first episode on the weekend was entitled Sydney, the Opening Ceremony. Let's take you back to Juan Antonio Samaranch's almost unintelligible announcement.
The winner is Sydney, Australia.
And on the Wheel of Fortune of announcements, you can buy a consonant. You Swiss dildo. I hate people from Switzerland. Anyway.
Rudy.
Don't worry. There's no Swiss people here. They all live in Switzerland. They don't migrate. They've got it too good. Essentially, it's over 2 hours of commentary and replays before waiting for the biggest stuff-up in Olympic history when the Ring of Fire stalled as it came out of the amazing pool of water. It's a long 45 seconds, I'll tell you. But it typifies the Australian spirit. Geez, this is a big job. I don't think we can do this. Oh, I told you we couldn't do it. Shit! Shit, we did it! Hey, we're okay. That's Australia in a nutshell. But let me run you through what we had to wait through before the Ring of Fire.
Oh.
An amazing 11 minutes of Dreamtime storytelling, followed by Deep Sea Dreaming, the worst primary school puppet show ever depicting the Great Barrier Reef. You could see the coral actually wanting to die.
bleaching itself, wasn't it?
It was bleaching itself. They were out there for a while, so they were probably bleaching themselves. Essentially, any opening ceremony is some very disciplined choreography that quickly falls apart amongst the smoke, lights and fireworks, and from an aerial view looks like a bomb went off in a crowded marketplace.
Oh, Rudy.
Rudy.
Don't worry, it's not a news report, it's an analogy.
Okay.
Jeez.
Thank you.
What, are we cancelling analogies now too, are we?
Anything that's satire is fine.
That's right. All the while, Nicky Webster, a courageous 13-year-old, is suspended 40 metres above this mess, pretending to swim. Do you remember how long that girl was up there doing a bit of breaststroke? Yeah. And freezing to death before singing her signature number. Do you all remember her signature number?
Sorry, no. It's just past me.
And not Strawberry Kisses. No. That came a little bit later, just before her zoo centrefold.
You still got that?
Let's not forget she was in zoo.
Is that still in your outhouse, Rudy?
No, it's not. I prefer centrefolds that arouse me. So, anyway, this is what the 13-year-old girl sung at the Olympics. Yeah, that's enough. Under the Southern Skies. Jesus, this thing went forever. Anyway, immigration was a massive theme, contributing to the wonderful multicultural society we live in. Mm. Italians, Greeks, Vietnamese, you know how it goes. You know who didn't get a mention?
No.
The Dutch.
Oh.
You know, we discovered this country. William Dampier was here first before Captain Cook, I can tell you that. We settled it. We've done all the hard work, but we're never in the news because we don't commit crimes like other nationalities. It's the truth. Name a Dutch criminal. All right, I'll give you Ivan Milat, but apart from that, what happened next? Dean Perry's tap dogs tap us into the modern era of concrete and glass, signifying tap dancing's massive contribution to Australian society. Jesus, why would anyone let their son tap dance?
I don't know.
Then every country comes into the arena, every athlete, Jesus, goes forever. End me with a flamethrower and call me an Olympic torch. You had to sit through Farnsey, Olivia Newton-John, Vanessa Amorosi, one of the greats, and Julie Anthony. Human Nature sing the national anthem.
Oh, yeah.
James Morrison's blowing on a trumpet. Yes. What a B-grade lineup it is. Then finally, the flame arrives. It's a celebration of 100 years of women in the Olympics. Raylene Boyle pushes Betty Cuthbert in her wheelchair.
Yep.
Oh. The flame's handed from Betty to Dawn Fraser.
Yep.
Shirley Strickland, Shane Gould, Debbie Flintoff King, they're all there. And finally, Kathy Freeman lights the flame and we see the most Aussie concept ever at the Olympics. A barbecue emerges from a swimming pool in a celebration of a 14-day weekend of games and stuffing around. To say I was weeping like a child is an understatement. I loved it.
Oh,
every horrible, corny minute of it, and I hated myself for it.
Oh, you must be looking forward to 2032 then when we get the next Olympics.
Where's it going to be?
Yeah.
On the Goldie, is it?
Yeah. Jesus.
Can't wait to get out to Carrara again to watch the athletics. Metricon Stadium.
We've still got a couple of Cameroons that can enter for the Olympics from the Commonwealth Games left here.
Yeah.
That's right. The Cameroon team just took off. Gee, those guys must be Einstein. Hard to spot a guy from Cameroon on the Gold Coast.
Yeah. Well, Spider reckons they're cooking on Plate of Origin now.
Yeah, the national dish of Cameroon, we all know what that is.
I hesitate to ask.
I'm not going to say it. You've already got a qualification on your licence. Now, note to Channel 7. They were advertising the full Monty. Nobody wants to see Wayne Carey, Paddy Newton, Matthew's mum. We all know about Matthew.
Yeah.
Fiona O'Loughlin, Sam Frost or Samuel Johnson naked or in their underpants.
Ugh.
I'd rather dig my eyes out with a rusty teaspoon. Now, I hate it. Goodbye.
Hey, there's an ad that's causing a few dramas. Sunday night, I don't know if you know, you saw the new Monty, or, you know, the full Monty TV show.
Sorry, I missed it.
Yeah, celebrities say, oh, I couldn't possibly take my clothes off in front of people. What, I'm on the television? Here you go. Ooh, clothes flew off. Send me the check. But during that show, I'm watching that, almost every ad, there was an ad for a company called Tenor, who make... how would you describe them, Bridge?
Tenor lady pads to make you feel very confident later on in life so you can laugh in public.
After you've had children, you can laugh, you can jump on a trampoline and not worry about everything downstairs. But there's a line in the ad
that
just...
That's what I want
to
do.
Every time I heard it, I wanted to hear the ad more and more. I just laughed and laughed and laughed. Can we have a little listen to what she says in the ad?
Yes.
A little bit of wee isn't going to stop me being me.
Good on her.
That's the way.
Yeah.
But the complaints are saying they should not make that normal.
Oh, we all wee.
It's women ringing up and complaining about the ad saying that should not be. It is completely normal. It's Everyone
stupid.
Relax about it. For goodness sake. Can we hear it one more time?
Yes, we can.
A little bit of wee isn't going to stop me being me.
You're a weird cat.
I'm going to stop this conversation because we need to get to Rabs as well, the rugby league.
It must be said that after losing to the Titans for the second time this season, the Brisbane Broncos, the club you built by hand, in the process winning 163 NRL premierships, are in complete and utter disarray. If the Broncos lose this weekend, it'll be the first time they've lost 10 games in a row.
Stop, mate. I've done a bit of wee. I'm leaking more than points here.
It's nothing to be ashamed of, Supercoach. It's a little bit like that advertisement for Tina Lady Pants, the confidence pants, where they say, a little bit of wee's not going to stop me being me.
Yeah, right on, Rabs. And a little bit of poop, big whoop.
Well, no, I'll stop you there. Because I draw the line at the douche, Wayne. Next train down that line's the goods. You can cut that out right now, Supercoach. Don't you bear down. Don't you push.
I can pull this up.
That's about all we have. Cut it out.
Whoa, Dragon.
That's about all we have time for. I'm Ray Warren. Tune in next week when you'll hear South Sydney Rabbitohs owner and Academy Award-winning actor Russell Crowe say...
On a warm day, I can get like 9 pineapple rings.
That's Ray Warren's World of Rugby League.
At the Yetla Footy Nappy Factory, we aim to please, so yous don't have to. Footy nappies make me happies. The stress of finals footy is very, very stressful. So wear your Yetla Footy Nappy and a little bit of wee won't stop me being me.
Sticky!
Oh, I think a lot of people will be going through this right now at home. Dear Bridge, Spider and Flan. Oh. Our 24-year-old son still lives at home and is saving for his first house. My husband has just put his foot down and said enough is enough. Time for him to step up or ship out. Mm. My hubby feels I'm enabling my son and he's lazy. I still wash his clothes, otherwise they just won't get done. Mm. I cook for him. Or otherwise, he'll just have heaps of crap takeaway. I also secretly pay for his rego recently and gave him a petrol allowance, not that my husband knows. This has caused so much friction between my hubby and I. He says at his age, he was married and was working two jobs to make ends meet and was also a dad. He thinks he should toughen up and live in the real world. The more we give, the more my son seems to take. But I don't want him to suffer and have disadvantages in life. At 24 years of age, is my son too old for handouts?
I think that's in a time machine and gone forward 10 years. Is that from Cherie? is that Boston? That is 100.
That's what's coming down the line?
Absolutely.
Really?
No doubt that is Cherie in 10 years.
I feel sorry for the girls in their 20s because they're getting men that aren't men who have never mowed a lawn, don't even know what a washing machine looks like. Mm. They're not tough. They won't toughen up. They won't have a spoonful of concrete.
Yeah.
And they just want handouts. I know lots of my friends are still paying a lot for their kids.
These washing machines you talk about. Can you describe one so I don't accidentally trip over one? Yeah. Where are
a little
they?
Different to the dishwasher.
I love the magic fixing box. Hey? Stuff it in, press the button. Voila.
Hard because, look, if he's saving for a house and he's going okay and he's getting enough money behind him, because we know that that is the hardest thing possibly to do at the moment. So, yeah, especially for children at that age. Yeah, my daughter, Caitlin, she's writing that demo and she's trying to do exactly the same. Her boyfriend's bought one, but she wants to get her own own house, even though they're living together. And, yeah.
You're greedy.
I'm always helping her out. Yeah. Like, and I don't know to the extent of how much because I don't look at statements too often. But okay. You know, if it's ties, if it's rego, it's all that. It's like,
how are they going to learn about the real world, though? I mean, at what stage do you still, you know, I mean, I'm at the stage where I like helping my parents, not like some family members that still take. I'm like, you guys are in your 50s. What is going on? I just think you, it's not character building. You're not learning things in life. What about when you learnt that the crate was your bedside table and what you made ends meet and you had five people living in a house with three bedrooms and,
yep.
You know, you did that kind of character building stuff and you're saved. Who's to say that this bloke still isn't wearing designer sunnies and has a great car and whatever? I mean, pay your own rego. Or what, you're happy for your parents not to have superannuation and have a nice retirement? Yep. Leave them alone, grow up, spoonful of concrete and own your own life.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying. I remember living in a house with eight people in three bedrooms. I mean, we were stacked two and three high at certain times, particularly on Fridays. But you know, it's I think at 23, he's got 5 or 6 years before he grows up.
Yeah.
Don't you think? Most blokes around 28, 29, they start to wise up.
I just think that's a crock. Mm-hmm. Why should women have to wise up before you guys do? I just feel sorry for the women. Imagine your daughter is you know, if, dating this useless guy who can't do anything and still getting handouts from mummy and daddy. Mm. How happy would you be about that?
Bet in 5 years when he's got his own house.
13, 27, 10. What would you do?
Interesting.
What would you do in this situation? Have you maybe experienced this with your adult children as well?
I'd like to let Chloe date someone. That's funny.
Let us know. What do you reckon about this sticky situation, Bron? Bigger rewarders. What would you do in this situation?
Turf him out.
Yay!
Oh, you didn't know him.
Come on, Ronnie.
Come on.
First way, he's an adult.
That's right.
Right? He's not a child.
No.
He's an adult. Now, and the fact is, right, forget about what I did. I've got adult children too.
Right.
Right? Yeah. My son didn't hang around. He saved up for a house outside of living with his mother and I.
Mm.
He went and bought a house and now his mother lives with him.
See?
Oh, right? I like this plan. Talk me through this, Ronnie.
Yeah, this is a good one.
Here's one other point. I've got a very good friend who's going through the exact same thing at the moment.
Right.
And it is causing real hassle. The only problem is that his son is 32 years old and waiting for someone to job.
Oh, my God.
No, seriously, it's the biggest thing. Yeah. I did date a guy for probably 8 months too longer than I should. It went on for 9.
Yeah.
he lived with his mum. He lived with his mum at 48.
Yeah, was he an umpire too?
Yeah. Leave the umpires alone.
Right. I saw him cricket.
Okay. Bill in Tweed Coast, what do you reckon? Should they kick him out or, look, you need that little bit of love to get yourself set up?
No, mate, kick him out.
Yeah,
I'm with you. I left home at 12 and I went to war with Korea. At that age, couldn't afford my own bullets. I had to stab everywhere. It was, you know, you grow up in life. Yeah. Like,
No, you agree with that, Bill? Yeah.
Yeah, I certainly do. He's got to grow up.
You can't. What do you reckon if you make restrictions around home? Because it's so hard to get that, you know, the house deposit these days, kids just can't get it. It's unrealistic.
And
if they do move out of home, guess what's going to happen in 6 or 8 years? They're going to be back there anyway. So why don't you set them up earlier so they don't come back when they're 30s, 32s?
But they won't live in the crap holes that we did. They have to have the nice new furniture from IKEA, the nice, no, just me and my girlfriend, no one else in any other rooms. They want this Instagram life that's absolute BS.
They've got
Put up with the crap, save your money, leave your parents alone.
Jared's in Oxenford. What do you reckon, mate?
Yeah, look, I don't agree with turfing him out if he's trying to save for a house, but I do agree with maybe making him a little bit more responsible at home. You know, let him do his own washing, let him, you know, fill the dishwasher or whatever, you know, mow the lawn. I mean, it's all about helping out. Like, my daughter's 19. She's just come to live with us about 8 months ago, my new wife and I, and I believe probably her mum spoiled the hell out of her, just gave her everything. And since she's been with us, my new wife and I, we've encouraged her to get two part-time jobs She was going to uni. She stopped uni now to work full time to save some money. You know, and she now makes the bed. She pays board. And every time she doesn't do something that we've asked her, we put a board up. So she knows really quickly that it's going to cost her money. Okay. Mm. So she since January, she's saved for a car. She's literally bought a little car herself.
Yeah, that's paid awesome.
Paid the insurance. And we're encouraging her to be more self-sufficient and responsible. It's the only way you can actually do this with young people today. I mean, I had a job when I was 15.
That's
I moved out of home early. You know, it's not a bad thing.
Yeah.
It takes responsibility.
Can I ask, Jared, do you actually, are you saving her board and going to give it back to her when she moves
no,
out?
No, what?
No, look, I told, she pays up a minimal board just to cover a bit of food and stuff like that. She also buys some food herself. But I think it's important that she learns that the world is going to charge her for things.
That is exactly right.
It's a user pays world. So at the end of the day, you know, she has to learn that she has to make her own way. She has to pay her own way. And I'm extremely proud of her since she's been living with her since December. And she has literally done all this stuff. And I tell her I'm proud of her. And she, dad. But she will not make her way in the world.
Congratulations, okay. You've saved up for the real world. Yeah.